Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 95. My name is John. Don't ask me what I want it for if you don't want to pay some more. Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. I've tried my best to make people understand that I do not trust our current president. I think he's a corporatist who does not believe in capitalism. Like most big businessmen, he is only looking for ways government can preserve the revenue stream of the existing big corporations. That's why we get the belief that tax money must be given to poorly operated companies because they are considered too big to fail. Bullshit. If a company makes wrong decisions and fails, it should. From the remains of the failure, new entrepreneurs will fill the void, which means new innovations and new ways of doing business that satisfy the customers. Instead, we get decaying dinosaurs of companies propped up by government cronies that stifle innovation and creation. This prolonged atrophy prevents new blood invigorating markets. Now, criticizing the current Republican administration does not mean I would let a Democrat off easy. Had Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders won the presidency, I would be here today talking about their socialist ideology destroying the country. But this is not about them. These days, I have a hard time saying any administration is ever correct in anything they do. Even when they do something that seems favorable, you always have to look at the details. What are they hiding? I follow George Carlin's rule number one. I never trust anything the government tells me. The other thing I always consider is when government does something, it's probably going to be done half-assed. Nothing is more half-assed in the United States federal government than a tax cut. Maybe it's not half-assed, maybe it's only quarter-assed, or perhaps 15% assed. But any cut in the income tax is assed.
The rich should pay their fair share.
You know what the fair share is? Zero. The money they earned, the wealth they accumulated, is not yours. It's theirs. Therefore, you have no claim to what they earned. But more on that later. Any wealth generated through honest means belongs to the earner. 100%. What is honest means? Well, here's the example that I like to use. Let's say you're walking down the sidewalk and you're really hungry. You see me turn a corner and start walking towards you, and you see that I'm carrying two Snickers bars. You ask me if you can buy one of my Snickers. I say, sure, I'll sell it to you for $5. Okay, now you know that is not a good price for a Snickers bar. But you're really hungry. So you do it anyway. Just as you finish eating the Snickers, as you're walking along, you turn that same corner where I came from, and you see a guy selling Snickers for $1. Well, shit, now you are sure you just paid way too much. Do you have the right to demand that I give you $4 back because you didn't know about the better deal? Hell no, you don't have a right. Caveat emptor. I made my offer, you accepted. I earned that $5 through honest means. I gave you what you want for the price we agreed on. Let me give you another example that came out recently. Media outlets were fawning over Ellen Pompeo's $20 million a year salary that she recently negotiated to continue as the star of Grey's Anatomy. Now, full disclosure, I've seen one episode of Grey's Anatomy, whichever one followed the Super Bowl a few years ago. My wife, Gina, loves it. And every once in a while I catch a few seconds as I make my way to or from the kitchen. Unless Sarah Ramirez is in the scene, I am highly unlikely to stop as I pass by the TV. I mean, it obviously was not enough to capture my attention and encourage me to watch, but then again, it's not the genre I'm usually interested in anyway. I haven't really enjoyed a hospital drama since the first couple of seasons of ER. But Gina never misses her Grey's. And I try to feign interest when she tells me about an episode, much the same way she feigns interest when I tell her about a comic book. Since the series is now in its 14th season, and this contract earned by Pompeo guarantees at least two more seasons, it's safe to say it's popular with television viewers in general, if not me specific. Now, a question occurred to me as I saw the tweets and retweets of congratulations for this woman. Why is no one clamoring about the excessive amount of money paid in the contract? It wasn't long ago when athletes were being given contracts of $20 million, and heck, even when they were topping half that amount, that people were going on and on about how unjust it was that they make so much money when other noble professions make a fraction of that. Why is it that teachers only get paid $50,000 a year, if that, while some athletes get paid 500 times that much? That was the question that people were constantly asking a few years ago. But I don't hear as much about it today. The why is relatively easy to explain, why they get paid so much. I mean, there's many factors, but I'm just going to throw out two. The first one that comes to mind is the United States education system is a prime example of socialism, while the major sports leagues are quasi-capitalist. Earnings in a socialist system are based on providing basic needs, while earnings in a capitalist system are based on what you can rightfully earn according to your will, work, risk, and talent. However, the biggest reason is this. A teacher gets approximately, maybe 30 children, mostly unwilling children, to come into his or her classroom to learn. And the teacher is paid by the forced taxation of the citizens. An athlete gets tens of thousands of people to voluntarily pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 to watch what amounts to 60 minutes of actual gameplay. But it's not just the player contracts that bring money. I mean, if you were going to advertise your new soft drink on national television, who would you rather have? Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers? Or my high school algebra teacher, Mr. Peck? Who would you rather watch work for 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon? I think it's strange. The outrage against entertainers' salaries has waned over the years. A CEO making exponentially more than a worker is the worst thing ever, according to the socialists. But a quarterback making exponentially more than a cheerleader, that's acceptable these days. And I'm willing to bet Ellen Pompeo is making exponentially more than the food styling assistant. I had to go to IMDb for that one. Yet, not only is there no outrage over a $20 million contract, the media is treating it as a great celebration. They only care because it's a woman getting the money. And that fits their narrative. In a different climate, they would decry her newfound wealth as evil. If the Hollywood elitists of today were consistent in their morality, they would be aghast because Ellen Pompeo is following one of the tenets of capitalism, that in a free market, you should be compensated for your work. But that's considered unfair by the boisterous socialists. If they were consistent and true to their stated beliefs, they would be demanding that she take less pay because she's taking that money out of the hands of some other worker. Maybe that food styling assistant isn't the star that viewers tune in to see, but goddammit, she's a good hard worker, and if Ellen Pompeo would stop being so fucking greedy and take more than her fair share, there would be more money for that food styling assistant. But no. Because it is acceptable in their morality for someone in their political clique to make 500 times more than the average American. They will gladly cram that square peg into the round hole and justify their exorbitant earnings. Sorry, I just had to rant a bit about yet another example of collectivist hypocrisy forcing their morality on others while not applying it to themselves. Let me tell you what I really think about her new contract. Ellen Pompeo plays the eponymous character in Grey's Anatomy. That show gets 10 million viewers a week on the low end. The show does not exist for the past 14 seasons without her. So she went into contract negotiations with demands based on her past performance and her expected performance if she continues the role. That's how she got $20 million. And she goddamn well deserves every fucking penny of it. Your takeaway from this should be that anybody, male or female, should be justly compensated. And he or she should have the courage to fight for what they believe they are worth. It is not immoral to earn $20 million as a television star. It is not immoral to earn $20 million as the CEO of an oil company. It's not immoral to earn $20 million as the head of a charity. It would not be immoral to earn $20 million as a burger flipper, if that was what the free market was offering. Don't force your morality on a person earning honest pay. What's right is not always moral, and what is moral is not always right. You can pontificate all you want about whether or not a person's pay is moral, but morality is not consistent, and therefore cannot be used as a gauge on determining what one can earn at either end of the pay spectrum. Getting paid what you are worth in the free market is not egotism. Egotism is believing that you are worth more than you really are. Believing working the cash register at McDonald's is worth $15 an hour is egotism. That's not an agreeable wage for that skill in the current free market, but that's another podcast. Capitalism and egotism don't mix. That's why you're seeing a stunning increase in automated systems designed to replace jobs that do not command $15 an hour. No. Getting paid what you're truly worth is pragmatism. Getting paid what you're worth is not greed. Getting paid what you're worth is justice. Greed is wanting more than your fair share. You know, somebody tell me what fair share is. Whose definition would you like to use? Sometimes, I think for socialists, the only answer to that question is whatever minimal amount will make for the most misery. I think I told the story many years ago, but I used to have a coworker who was, and probably still is, a hardcore socialist. On the back of her car, she had a bumper sticker that read, "Live simply so that others may simply live." If you think about it, that's what the elitists try to tell us. You make so much money, and other people deserve it, so you should have less. You should live with less. You should live simpler. So I ask again, whose definition are we going to use for fair share? That bumper sticker, that was on the back of a car. Not everybody has a car. You have more than your fair share. How dare you flaunt your superior wealth by driving a personal vehicle when others have to take public transportation? See how morality can't be used as a gauge? I go back to my earlier example of earning from honest means. If you and I make a deal, and we both agree you will deliver to me a good or service that does not violate anybody's natural rights, for a specific price, and you deliver on your promise, then you deserve the agreed compensation. And once again, in keeping with natural rights, you deserve to keep all of what you earn. You also deserve to be in complete control on how your wealth is spent, saved, and risked. No person or group, even those backed by the supposed will of the people, has a right to take what you honestly earned. Because taxation is immoral. Taxation is theft. One of the basic ideas libertarians hold is the right of self-ownership. Set aside all the things you commonly think about that you may own. Cars, houses, televisions, books, rhino figurines. And consider this. If nothing else, you at least own yourself. If you believe in the basic right that you own yourself, you own your body, that your body is yours to do with as you please, so long as you do not interfere with other people's natural rights, then to follow a logical line, you must also believe that what you produce with your body is yours as well. No, I don't mean what you produce after you eat a sardine and avocado sandwich. Don't be gross. I mean what you produce with your intelligence and your effort, your work. And that which you earn by risking your wealth, whether that be a safe risk like a savings account or a high risk like the stock market, all that is yours. You exchange your intelligence and your effort for money, which is the middleman of trade. You then take that money to procure for yourself things that you need and you want. If you wish to give some of that money to charity for a cause you believe in, then you should be allowed to do so. If you wish to keep every single penny you earn for yourself, then you should be allowed to do so. To force someone to relinquish their wealth that they rightfully earned through their work and their risk is immoral. It doesn't matter where that force comes from or what it tries to hide behind. If you're walking down the street and a man walks up to you, points a gun to your face, and demands you give him all the money you've got, would you consider him a thief? Why? Well, because he's taking what does not belong to him. He's taking what belongs to you. But what if he's desperate and he needs to feed his hungry children? Doesn't matter. It's still robbery because he's using force. But what if it's a smiling man in a nice suit and he's only forcing you to give up 25% of the money you have on you? What if he's not holding a gun, but he tells you if you don't give him what he demands, he's going to show up at your doorstep because he knows where you live. And he's going to show up with people who do have guns and will not only take what he wishes, but he'll throw you in jail as well. What if this man is taking the money from you because he believes he's entitled to it, and because he believes he knows better how to spend what you earn? That's the essence of the federal government personal income tax. If you don't give what the government demands, they will harass you. They will threaten you. If you do not give in to their demands, they will find you. They will not only find you, but when they do, they will be backed by people with guns. You may not see them initially, but the guns are always there. They're just hidden by the bureaucracy. Not convinced? Well, let me put this another way. What is slavery? If you look it up, that means the system by which people are owned by others as a slave. Fine. What's a slave? Someone who is legally owned by another person and is forced to work for that person without pay. Taxation is the government forcing people to involuntarily surrender the fruits of their labor, their income, without compensation. But wait, you say, you get compensation when the government uses your taxes for your benefits, like roads. Yes. And slaves got food and living quarters from their owners. See, the owners knew they needed their slaves to remain able-bodied so they could continue to be exploited. Just like the government needs us to remain able-bodied so they can continue to exploit us. Your argument that we benefit from taxes is invalid because taxes are forced upon us. And force does not benefit the forced. If you don't pay your taxes, bad things will happen to you. You pay taxes under duress, under the threat of punishment. The only way anyone could truthfully claim to give to the government voluntarily and validate a belief in taxation is if all income tax laws were abolished, but you still chose to surrender your income to the government. But I digress. Let me get back to my point. A slave is one who is legally owned by another person and is forced to work for that person without pay. Taxation is the government forcing people to involuntarily surrender their income without compensation. Therefore, the percentage to which you believe a person should be taxed is the percentage to which you agree with slavery. So this notion that taxpayers are getting a tax cut is nice, but it's half-assed. The only fair amount that anybody should pay for income tax is zero. That goes for everyone, no matter how rich or poor. That is the only truly fair way. That is the only way compatible with natural rights. Income taxation used to be illegal in the United States. The Constitution forbade it. But a little over a century ago, that changed. Generations have passed, and now the citizens have become so used to it, and most everybody thinks that that is the only way it can be. People are so enveloped in this notion that income tax is justified that taking it away would be anathema. Let me read just a few posts about the horrors of getting a tax cut from Twitter. CJ Eddie 8. I don't want my taxes cut. I want health care for all, a living minimum wage, free public universities for good students. I want the perks. Barb Felden 1. I don't want my taxes cut. I want reliable roads, good affordable public transportation, good public schools, clean air, clean water, good health care. Amber Hoyt 78. I don't want my taxes cut or paying more for the 1% to get tax cuts. I want roads, health care for all, safety nets, college for all, affordable housing for all. I want more research money for things like cancer and AIDS. All these things in government won't be funded if you believe the propaganda. Did you know you could voluntarily donate to many of these government agencies? A simple Google search of how to donate to, followed by the various departments, will lead you. The Department of Education takes donations. So anybody who has a problem with their tax cut damaging the massive public education behemoth that has us ranked currently a paltry 17th in the world, well, then they need to voluntarily give that money back to the bureaucracy. You worried about the national parks? Well, you can donate to the National Park Service. You don't even actually need to go to one of the parks. You know, I couldn't find one for the Environmental Protection Agency, but they do have info on donating food to the needy and electronics to minimize waste. Nothing for the Department of Transportation either, but I found I could donate money, equipment, or time to my state Department of Transportation. Perhaps you can do that as well. You know, just in case you want to contribute to the mismanagement of tax dollars, or promote their schemes to circumvent state law and the express will of the voters. Tried to find some for the Department of Health and Human Services, but they focus more on things like blood and organ donation. It's such a pity that there are absolutely no private entities at all anywhere in the United States that offer healthcare services or research cures for diseases. Yep, the government, and only the government, can solve those problems. If you don't give your money to them in taxation, and force all of the rest of us to give our hard-earned money to the government, why, there will never, ever be another disease cured ever again. You want to give your money to the government for cancer and AIDS research? The same government that is in bed with big pharmaceutical companies? And you want your money to go to a bureaucracy that will no longer have jobs if they no longer have to do research? So the true incentive for the bureaucracy is to never find a cure? Companies who spend hundreds of millions of dollars to develop drugs to cure or at least relieve painful symptoms are expected by society to just give it away. If you know you're going to give everything you have to achieve a goal, but when you finally do achieve it, people are going to take the fruits of your labors away from you and leave you with nothing, what's the incentive? If your work serves a great purpose, don't you deserve a great compensation? You may be one of those faux humble people who say they'd give back to their community or those in need. That's fine. But shouldn't that be your choice to give? You know, you could always donate directly to the Bureau of Fiscal Service to help pay down the debt for, as they put it, general government purposes. Say, do you think that some congressman ought to pass a law to make it easier for people to donate their money beyond normal income taxes to specific government agencies if they so choose? If you believe in the bureaucracy, there's nothing stopping you from giving your money to it. And if you're upset about getting a tax cut, but you don't voluntarily give your savings back to the government, you're a hypocrite. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.